brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because Jesus is indeed Lord above it all. He's over it all, and in Him we live, we move, we have our being. Yeah, I tell you, this is interesting and amazing times to be alive and to be on the earth at such a time as this, to be about our Father's business. And, you know, right now is important as a child of God to understand some of the things that are communicated in the Word, for also ways that we should be mindful of our own lives. When Jesus was asked let me go to John chapter 3 really quick. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, when he came to him in the middle of the night. Verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Okay, so everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Everyone that is born of the Spirit, you can see the effects of what's going on with their lives, just like you can see the effects of the wind blowing through the trees, but you can't tell where it's coming from, and you can't tell where it's going. So the children of God are, and this is one reason why the world hates us, unpredictable. The world hates the fact that we are not motivated by the things that they're motivated by. See, when they were trying to get a hook into the children of God, the children of God don't work like the world works. See, we're not motivated by the things the world is motivated by. The things of the world grow strangely dim for the child of God. That means that all the shiny trinkets that the world pushes around, all of the holiday vacations that you can have in fancy places, yeah, sure, they're nice, but they're not what move you. Because the thing that you want is something that the world cannot give. The world cannot give peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, while he was being chased all over the place, and he's walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and he told his disciples, he said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you like the world gives you." Now, what is that peace? Well, that peace is an internal serenity amidst external turmoil. You can be surrounded by all kinds of craziness, but you can have peace within that comes from Him, comes from seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, comes from a walk with the Father of your spirits. And when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord, you have direction, and you have something that the world cannot give. Now, if you choose to give that up, well, that's on you, but in that process of giving that up, you lose that peace. So you may gain the world, but you forfeit your soul. And if you forfeit your soul, what does a man have? As it says in Mark 8, if a man gains the world yet forfeits his soul. Well, what do you have if on every side you have luxury and opulence, but in the end you've given up the inner peace that only comes from God? See, these are questions. And the thing is, when the world hates you because of Him, then they hate you because of what you have in Him. But that's their problem, and that's not yours. Yours is to follow Christ. Yours is to be a witness. Yours is to do the things that you see the Father doing, to speak the words that you hear the Father speaking, to be His witness on the earth, knowing that this life is transitory, knowing that success in the world and whatever your position in the world is, whatever it is, it doesn't really move you one way or the other. So yes, if you are a success in the world, in the eyes of the world, fine. And if you're not, who cares? Because what you want is you want in the end to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what you want to have and to hear from your Heavenly Father. And all the rest of it is secondary. And the world cannot give you that. The world cannot give you the approval of the Father, because the world doesn't have the approval of the Father. So it can't give you what it does not have. Now, the only place that comes from is from Him. And in that place, there is no control or lording over somebody else or attempts to manipulate. No, you let people be what they are, knowing that each person is unto their own master. They rise and they fall. Now, there are certain things that God has put in His Word as guidelines for how life functions. So we advocate for that. We stand strong for that. When it was talked about in the book of James, you know, as far as like religion, you know, and the irony is that most times when I look at and I see what religions in this world do, they don't fall in line at all with what the scriptures say that actually any religion that's worthwhile should be. Well, what does it say that you're supposed to do? Well, religion that God finds pure and faultless is this: to stick up for, to look out for the widows and the orphans. You know, to take care of those that can't take care of themselves, right? James chapter 1 verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Well, so if you've got any form of religion in this life, if there's anything that you should be doing, if you are going to congregate with other people, and you're going to have the strength of that collective gathering of people, well, here's what it is: to visit the fatherless, the orphans, the fatherless, and the widows, basically those that don't have the power to fight for themselves, those that are in a marginalized position in life, in their affliction, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So basically, don't get, you know, as much as possible, don't get muddied up by the world system, because they're going to try. I mean, if you're going to have a pursuit, if you're going to have a pursuit as a collective group of people, as far as religion goes, if you're going to get together in your clubs, well, might as well do this while you're getting together. So it shouldn't be some place where you're going to try to crack business deals open. It shouldn't be a place where you're going to try to shack up with your neighbor's wife or husband or find one. Or, you see what I'm saying? All these people, everybody's got their motivations of why they want to go and they want to get together. But that's the world. In fact, that's not keeping yourself unspotted from the world. That's bringing the world into the church, bringing the world into the congregation of the believers, bringing the world in there. And what happened when that took place? What did Jesus do? Well, when he came into the temple, and what did he see when he walked into the temple? He saw, here it is. Here's the table of the money changers. Here's the table of those buying and selling buying and selling money, the ones selling doves, the temple doves, all that. He saw, what was it? It's just the world. It was the world system encroaching on that which was allocated and assigned to and supposed to be kept for the purposes of God, for the purposes of what He would intend, for the purposes. And you know what? That's the world. We'll do that. They will encroach. They will just keep trying to just get a little bit further in, a little bit further in, a little bit further in, just like a cancer. And what did Jesus do when he saw that? He made a cord. Together, tied it together into a whip, and he drove them out of there. He turned over their tables. He upset their whole system. And what did they ask when Jesus upset their whole system? They said, "Who gave you the right? Who gave you the right to upset the world system?" Isn't that their response? Instead of turning around and saying, "You know what? You're right. The world shouldn't be in here. You're right. The money changers shouldn't be in here. You're right. This is not the place for the world. No. Instead, they said, who gave you the right to Jesus? When he calls them out on it. And you'll notice that with the world and the worlders. And the pedophiles and the creepers and those that would destroy the lives of the innocent. You'll notice that when you start standing for truth and when you start standing up for what's right and what's real, you'll notice that. They'll turn around and say, who gave you the right to speak truth to power? Who gave you the right? And here's the other side too. You are what you are. You've been called how you've been called. The man didn't do this. God did this. God set you aside unto his own purposes. He gave you authority. Listen, if you've been tracking with us long enough here, you know that God's had to speak truth to power all over the world for over a decade. And you've seen the ramifications of that. You've seen nations change if you've been with us as we've been doing the things that God's been doing with and through us and through the people that are part of this. You also have seen and known that God protects those that are his. And, you know, it is a dangerous time for the children of God that are on the earth because the world will seek to stamp out that light because if they don't have a heart for truth, they can't stand the fact that it's there. So you have to realize and know that that is there, and you need to flow with the Spirit of God. Now, if it's your time, it's your time. And if it's your time to check out, great. Thank God for that, because you finished your race. But no man takes your life from you. You lay it down of your own accord, only to take it back up again. Know that God has his hand upon you, that he's protecting you, that he's leading you, that he's guiding you, that he's with you. If you be his, then you flow with him. And so we are like the wind in how we live and how we move and how we flow through this life. And, you know, keep that. Keep that for every day of your life here. Keep that being led by the Spirit. As much as they try and they push and they want to try to enslave you into their system, no, you've been set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You've been set free to follow the Spirit of the living God. You've been set free to follow what it is that the Spirit of God would lead and guide you into. You've been set free to walk in righteousness. You've been set free to choose to minimize the way that you are spotted by the world and the world system. To keep, so what is religion that God finds pure and faultless? Well, part of it is to keep yourself, you know, unspotted by the world. So you're trying to minimize the way in which the world gets that it affects you. You can cut it down. You can. You know, you can be conscious and deliberate, and you can minimize the way that the world can be around, because you're around it, all right? You're around the world. You're around the world system. It's there. It's around you. And you have to be able to navigate through that. But just being conscious and aware that that's there and being conscious and aware of its agenda, you can also make clear decisions and clear choices. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, you know, in that situation, in captivity. Now, they were slaves. But in their captivity, even they made a decision that they wanted to be among their collective. And where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. So that was church for them, all right? And they made a decision that they wanted to keep themselves as much as possible undefiled by that world system that they were tossed headlong into. And all the other people that were there with them in that had been also sold into captivity, those ones, they all embraced it. Because they said, well, this is it. This is what we've got to work with, so we're just going to try to make it good while we can, right? But what did Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego say? They said, you know what? Okay, we're going to try. And God blessed them in their request when they talked to those that were in charge. They were given favor when they asked to have their own diet, to not eat the king's meat. And God blessed them to make them healthier by eating that diet that would glorify God. Now, it's not about the food. It's about the intention. There's definitely a component in the food, and there's a surface level, nutritional level in all of that if you want to do a study on that whole thing. But it's the spirit behind it that's the most important. It's the spirit and the decision and the choice that the children of God make to say, you know what? As much as possible, I want to follow God. As much as possible in the circumstance that I'm in, Father, I want to follow you. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to, you know, if there's nothing I can do about it, there's nothing I can do about it. But you know, and I want to follow you in this. And when it came down to it, when they were put in a situation where the king said, look, either you bow down to this idol that we've set up in Daniel chapter 3, or we're going to toss you in the furnace. And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in that situation? They said, you know what, king, if this is the choice that you're giving us, we're not going to be careful in this matter. Because you can just know right now, right up front, that as far as this matter is concerned, know that we're never going to bow down to the thing that you've set up. We're never going to be that. We're never giving our spiritual allegiance to your system. Now, they already had authority and responsibility for governing and for doing things for the leaders of that nation. But their spiritual allegiance was always to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And they would not give that up. Now, the world is going to press you for that, because that's what the world wants. Because here's the reason that Jesus was offered all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. You know, in Luke chapter 4, right? Well, you remember the temptations of Jesus? And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God." Notice the "if." He always tries to bring that in to mess with your mind. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it might be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him unto an high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering, said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Okay, so with Jesus, as he continued to move forward, and in those temptations, and there's different ones that are there, and notice the attack is against the mind, the attack is against the thinking, the attack is to try to bring doubt in. So while the child of God, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, to be led by the Spirit, is what we want and what we desire, the world is trying to get its hooks into your mind, into your thinking, to try to get you to doubt what God said, to try to get you to question that, and then to take you in another direction. So when the devil said unto him in verse 6, And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. you know, the reason that the devil offers people the world, and in this case, he offered Jesus the whole darn thing, and Jesus answered him and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." See, if you are going to follow the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you have taken the exit provided from the world, which is given in Christ Jesus, you're on your way out. But for the world, if they can keep you, if they can get you to bow down, then they keep your soul in hell and in this whole thing, and they recycle you into this whole thing. And if they do recycle you into this whole thing, well, even if they offer you all of it, you're still beholden to that system, so they haven't really given up anything, because you know you now are part and parcel of that system. You now have bowed down to the beast. You now are part of it, and so if they can get you in, even if they've got to offer you everything, but now it's still there. You're still stuck. And what they can't have is they can't have you exiting. They can't have you leaving. They can't have you following Christ Jesus and on the way out. And they cannot have you telling other people this good news. They cannot have you waking up other souls that might exit with you. So that's why they shadow ban you. That's why they try to keep that word which you speak from getting out. That's why they try to keep you from being able to do the work the Father gives you to do. Because in that work that the Father gives you to do, for this reason, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this reason the Son of God was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. So when you do the things you see the Father doing, you destroy the works of the devil. And they don't like that. So they do what they can to destroy that. They do what they can to marginalize that. They do what they can to keep you from having a voice, from having a platform, from having a place, from having a way of doing anything. And, you know, we've seen that in our time. We've seen that in our time online. We've seen that in our work, you know, around this world where we've tried to do the things that God's given us to do. The oppression that we face, the suppression that we face, the attempted attacks on, and for what reason? For you're just trying to help people and to do right by people. You're trying to do something honest and clean and good, and you just face the worst sort of things from the worlders. Now, here's the thing. As you've continued to persist in godliness and you've continued and just trying to do the things that God would give you to do, God knows. And He settles accounts. Oh, you know what? I tell you, there's one the other day, and I'm not going to go into the details of who and what company and all of that, but you know, there was some business stuff that I was involved with about a year ago or so, and just you know, trying to do something, you know, with some people, and you know, everything was, we had agreements in place, contracts in place, all of that, and these people that wanted to cheat all of that and to turn that around and to try to do something another way, and you know, in the end, it was not amicable, it was not right, and so, you know, we had to look for a way to close that out and to minimize losses as much as possible. But somebody came back to me just recently and told me, that knew of that situation. They're like, "Govinda, you know those people that did that to you guys?" They said, it's like they've been cursed after that, because like everything that they've done after that, it's falling apart, and their business is falling apart. Now, here's the thing. I don't wish that for people. But I also know that God has His hand on us. And if you do right by the children of God, God does right by you. If you do wrong by the children of God, God will settle accounts. That's just how it is. So when the world does wrong by you, what does the scripture say? "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." So I'm not going to I'm not going to go and try to chase after all this stuff and just let it go, let it be. Because God will settle those things. And usually it comes back later on. I'm just like, "Oh my gosh." Like, okay, you know, and you try to warn people. you try to warn people and give them a heads up that, look, you know, don't mess around here because God is in this. You know, just walk the other way. But, you know, the world just can't walk the other way. They can't let it go. They can't let it be. And so, and the fact that they can't let it go and they can't let it be, and they just try and they have to take their shot, but in doing so, they destroy themselves. And you know what? It is hard. It is hard for the child of God because, you know, in the middle of that, you know, we're experiencing all of this. But you got to keep your eyes on Christ. At times, you got to be like David at Ziklag, and you got to sometimes just encourage yourself in the Lord because you're not going to get it from anywhere else. You're going to be in times where it's going to be tough, and where unless somebody has that thing that's been put in them by the Spirit of God for themselves, they're not going to get it. Because that's what God has put in you for your role while you're here. And you need to persist in that. You need to persist in the mission that God has given you. But just know that God's going to back you up. Know that He's backing you up. Know that He's walking with you. Know that He that began a good work in you is carrying on to completion. And yeah, we do get beat up. We do sometimes get knocked down. But you know what? The righteous may fall 7 times, but they get back up again. You may get knocked down, but God will strengthen you to keep going. And there may be times where, you know what, you don't feel like you can go much further, but just, you know, we refuse to go back. And so, you know, even recently, you know, for myself, like I know I haven't been on air for a window here for a few reasons. You know, part of it's just been a lot of travel recently, and part of it has been just because I've been recovering from a couple things, and all of that has been there. But also too, sometimes it's been a lot. You know, it has been a lot. And in fact, you know, we've got 20 on 20 coming up, you know, very, very soon. And you know, when we do that, we continue to take sort of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that spiritual axe, if you would, to the root, to the taproot of the world system for another swipe each month, and we just cut into the lifeblood of the world, and you see for yourself, you know the ramifications of that. And you guys that are praying all over the world and participating in that, you know that. You see and know and understand what that is and how that is happening and what you are a part of in the spiritual realm as you join in that. Well, you know, as you do that work that the Father has for you to do, it has an impact. And this is not something that man came up with. This is something that the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us into because we do the works of the Father on the earth. It's His work, not ours. If it's something that came from our own mind, then it would be just that and it would fall to the wayside. But when it comes from Him and we are moving with Him as His ambassadors, His ambassadors on the earth, that's different. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be representatives of the kingdom on the earth, to speak the word, to speak the truth, to do what He has for us to do. And the rest of it, let it be what it is. You know, God will, there's going to be times where we're down, there's going to be times where we're up and all over the place and everything in between. Those are all experiences of life, and God will oftentimes allow those to teach us, to refine us, to help us, to quicken us, to do all kinds of stuff. But don't worry about that too much. Be the wind, you know. I kind of like what Bruce Lee said about he's talked about being like water. Similar principle. You know, in a different context, but being able to flow, you know, being able to, you know, you can be what you need to be, but you always are what you are. And God wants us to be able to flow with Him. So, you know, that's also part of this principle, the larger one that we've also talked about too, in this time and in this context of riding the wave. You know, we've been on this wave of light, and we are riding it. You know, I had the blessing of going surfing recently, and you know, just reminding all this stuff is like, yeah, you can, you know. And also, I was reminded that, you know, the conditioning required to do that. So, So in the process of all of this, you know, as this broadcast is coming out tomorrow, just want to encourage you guys for 20 on 20 that's coming up, just to... yeah, 20 on 20 is coming up here pretty soon. So, you know, you guys all over the world that are enjoying enjoying seeing now some of the repercussions and the ramifications of that, you know, just you see God's hand. But also, we need to be persistent. The parable of the persistent widow is there, and she continues to come back, you know, for justice. And we're continuing to come back consistently before the Father for this. That's what we need to do. That you need to be serious about this. We're serious about what we do here while we are walking with the Father on the earth. The children of God are now only beginning to truly understand the power that they have in Christ, the power that's been made available to them in Him. And God wants you to know and understand that power and to continue to move forward in that. So, you know, the world does not want you to move in that power. The world does not want you to realize and recognize what you have in Him. The world is trying to persist to have you marginalized on the side and wanting scraps from their system. That's what they would do to you if they could. And that's what they would do to you if they would get you to buy into their system and their lie. No, you, brother, you, sister, you are a prince, you are a princess of the living God. You are a child in the Most High. And God has a role and a responsibility for you while you're here on the earth. You need to rise up into that position and you need to do what God has for you to do. Nothing less will satisfy you. Nothing less will satisfy who you are in Him. Let the world be the lie that it is. You don't need it. The world has nothing for you. The world has nothing to offer you. You continue to do the works that the Father has for you to do. And know that God loves you. And hey, we love you guys out there too, all right? God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We'll catch up with you guys soon. And hey, if this audio goes up before... plug in 20 on 20. It's going to be 4 a.m. So it's going to be, wait, yeah, that's right. 4 a.m. Mountain Time. So 5 a.m. Central Time, USA. So, yeah, and I think it's going to be, Zeph is going to be doing it through Spreaker. So plug in. And if you miss it on the live stream, you can catch up on the podcast and pray with us. Pray for the ending of human trafficking and modern day slavery, and pray that God roots out and weeds out all of these evil, twisted people that are doing that which is completely against God, and those that have bought into the world and the world system and bowed their knee to the devil, and they do what the devil wants them to do. Well, our prayer is that God would root this out, and just as we've... If you're going to get together in a collective of people, well, what is religion that God finds pure and faultless? To stick up for the widows and the orphans, to stick up for those that don't have the power to stick up for themselves. So that's what we're doing. 20 on 20, we're doing that which is the only reason and purpose, in my mind and estimation, for which you should, if you're going to get together in a collective, this, you should be doing some of things like this. You know, and a few others. You should be encouraging, but this is primary. So that's what we're doing, and that's why God blesses it, is because we're doing that which is in the Word and the truth. So let the dead bury the dead. You go forward in the truth, all right? All right, love you guys. Drop us an email. We'll talk to you guys soon. faithmix@gmail.com. All right, love you guys. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.